I knew that I had to ask for permission before leaving. And I didn't, for whatever reason, I decided to make myself busy and I left. So I was following the service, the latter part of the service, last week. And then when church service closed, about 5 minutes time, I saw that Elder Otim was calling. I said, I know that he was going to call. Hallelujah. If it was back then in my village, it would be like a trouble for me. But thank God for grace. Hallelujah. He said, my good friend, I know that you were supposed to be in church, but are you okay? I said, yes, sir. I'm out of state. He said, oh, okay. Thank God. Adoltem, God bless you. Amen. Today's song ministration, I don't know, but they've already preached the sermon. God's ancient words, they keep resounding. Hallelujah. They keep resounding. I'm preaching on the sermon, the Great Commission. I don't have enough time, so I will speed a bit, but I will take my time to lay the foundation so that I will speed at the latter part of it. Amen. We thank God for giving us the opportunity, the district pastor, the presbytery, and for you being here. Amen. Let's pray. My Lord and my God, we have come before you once again. We pray that may you speak to our hearts. May you touch these lips, Father. May your words go forth like lightning. May it heal, may it break, may it build, and may it increase us. In Jesus' name, amen. This topic is not for the world. It is for the church. Hallelujah. This is for the church. Most often we forget that God is a king. We know that he's a father. We know that he's God, but most often we forget that he's a king. God is a king. He has a kingdom. In Genesis, the Bible says that God created everything and he saw that it was good. And then he created man for man to rule over the earth. So what he was trying to do is that he gave man part of him to come and rule this earth. But out of rebellion is what God sees as sin. So when we rebel against him, he sees it as sin. So out of rebellion, man had to cede the authority on the land or the earth to Satan. So Satan became the ruler of the earth instead of man. Hallelujah. Please stay with me so that when you're able to get the foundation, it will be easy for you to get whatever I'm trying to say. Out of rebellion or sin, man gave Satan the authority over the earth. And then Satan became the ruler of the earth. So God's mission for the earth was truncated. He was giving man opportunity to rule, and the man couldn't. So his authority or his mission was truncated. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, that's what it talks about. Therefore, man and his descendants had to die by being cut off from the source of life, which is Jesus, or which is God. This forced God to come to earth in his own nature. Hallelujah. He had to reform himself and then come in the form of human being and then come and take over whatever that he had planned earlier, so that he will be able to continue his mission, that the reason why he created the earth and the reason why he created man, so that he will be able to go back to whatever that he had wanted to do. That was why I was telling you that the song was a prophetic song. Amen. God bless you, MD. In Jesus' 3 years ministry on earth, he chose 12 disciples to be with him. Disciple simply means someone who is a student. In the olden days, in Jesus' era, they had disciples. each teacher has had his or her own disciples. These disciples were to follow the teacher and then learn everything about that teacher. They talk like him, they walk like him, they do everything like him. That was what the disciples were doing. That was what they were supposed to do. And their mission was that they were supposed to behave like Jesus, so that wherever people see them, they will see that these people have been with this person. That was why in Acts chapter 12, they called them the church. These people have been with Christ, so we call them Christians. Praise the Lord. They saw Christ in them. They saw the behavior in Christ. When Jesus was arrested and was sent to the palace, when that maid saw Peter, he saw that the way Peter was behaving, the way Peter was talking, it showed that Peter had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. In the same way, when the Holy Spirit came and then Peter started to preach, all of them decided to talk. They said that, how come these people are doing so great and wonderful things? Knowing that they are unlearned, we know that they have not been schooled, but they went back and then they looked at their background and they saw that, okay, they have been with Christ. Amen. Okay, so Jesus chose these 12 disciples to be like him, and then he sent them out two by two, hallelujah, to go and preach. He was just trying to do a simulation of what they would do in his absence. So he said, go and then preach, go and heal, go and set the brokenhearted free, those that have been captured. Just go and then. And he was waiting for them to come and bring their report. So when they came, they were very happy. He said, oh, sick are being healed. Those that have been are being tormented by demons are being set free. And they were happy. And Jesus knew that, okay, so now the mission that I came to accomplish is being accomplished. We know that Jesus came to die for our sins. We know that he came to shed his blood for us to be reconciled to Christ. But before he went to the cross, he had this as part of the mission to establish his kingdom on earth. Hallelujah. Are you here? Okay, so he had this as part of the mission to establish how we are supposed to live in his absence. It's not that he's coming to forgive our sins, he's coming to shed his blood and then go just like that. But he had to show us how we are supposed to live as God's own people. That's why he said, when you pray in Matthew, he said that when you pray that, O Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come. Where is it coming? Thy kingdom come on earth. Hallelujah. As it is being in heaven. So now let's come back to our topic, the Great Commission. So I hope now you understand where I'm trying to go. Presiding, please, when it's getting too tight, tell me so that. Amen. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is sinner that Jesus died. And that he died for me. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. And that he died for me. Amen. I want us to read from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. We will come back to our main verse. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I want us to look something over there. Jesus was just trying to do a survey of how he was performing. So he started asking questions. No, Matthew chapter 16, 1:6, verse 18. Okay. So he was asking his disciples, those guys that he chose to follow him and learn from him, that who do men say I am? They gave the answers, and then he asked, okay, what about you? What do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the King, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. You are the Messiah. Then Jesus answers, says that, okay, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. You are Peter. He knew that he was Peter, but Jesus was going beyond the name. The name, as we all know, a rock. And he says that on this rock, Peter, I will build my church. Jesus, using the word church in the early synopsis, they use the word ecclesia. Ecclesia. Ecclesia means called out one. Hallelujah. That was what Jesus was trying to show over there. But he had to use words that will make those around him understand what he was trying to say. So we know that a lot of times Jesus used to speak in parables. He says that I'll build my church. It means he is building his own church. Someone can also build his or her own church. Is that true? He said, I will build my church. That is for him. It means another person can also build his church. The ecclesia, the called out one, came from a Greek philosophical understanding. You remember those times, it was the Romans that was ruling the whole earth. The whole world was under the rulership of Rome. So Rome was able to conquer Greece, and then they stole all their books. You know, the Greeks, they were philosophers, so they wrote a lot of books. They were reading human character, human mind, human behavior. They wrote a lot of books. So when the Romans captured the Greeks, they were able to steal their books, and then they came to study them. That was how Rome was able to become the greatest empire on earth. Hallelujah. So they studied the Greek philosophy, where we have this ecclesia. Ecclesia, let me read something over here for you. The ecclesia is a group of people selected by a king or an emperor to his idea, to execute his idea or mind throughout his empire. Hallelujah. So there were specific people that a king or an emperor will select, and then he would teach them to go out and then show forth what he wants them to do, what he wants his empire or his kingdom to look like. Hallelujah. So if presiding calls all of us into PIWC Hartford, he will tell us everything that is on his mind, his mission. Then we go out as to how we will be able to accomplish it. It's none of his business, but we have to make sure that we are able to accomplish his mission. Hallelujah. That was where the ecclesia came out. So Jesus was trying to give them something that they will be able to relate what he was trying to say. So he says that, I will build my church. His church is the ecclesia. I will have my own called out people who will also go out and then show forth my mission on earth. Please, do you understand? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, so these people are those that Jesus will call out, and then he will teach them his mission on earth, how they are supposed to live, how they are supposed to behave. And then they will also go out and then be able to show forth his mission, be able to accomplish it. This year, our mission is, our theme for the church is, the people of God unleashed to transform their world. Hallelujah. Where did these people of God come from? We came out from the world. And then God chose us. He separated us. He has taught us. And we are being unleashed into the world to transform our world. How are we transforming it? We are transforming it to look like the people of God. Hallelujah. Let's read from Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 14 to 18. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11. Mark chapter 16, verse 14 to 18. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in many tongues. Then 18 says that they will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Amen. Jesus had died. He had risen from the dead. And then before he leaves, he gives this command that now I am leaving. But you, go out and then preach the gospel. To preach means to declare something, to proclaim something. So we are going to proclaim Jesus. This Jesus that died, this Jesus that you people thought you had finished him, he's alive. And we are proclaiming him. When Jesus came, all that he was preaching was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In the same way John the Baptist came, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus did the same thing. He never preached any different thing. He said, I must be by my Father's house. Amen. All that he was preaching was, repent, for the kingdom of God has arrived. When we read Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Luke chapter 4. Verse 43, he says that, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore am I sent. Okay, but he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Hallelujah. So when we go out, we are not going to proclaim any other message than the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. But we all know about the great king, the great commission. It's about go and preach, go and preach. Today, I want to take a different route. Though you go and preach, that is fine. But you have to use a different strategy. Amen. When we read Luke chapter 8, verse 1, it also talks about Jesus talking about the kingdom of God. Chapter 9 talks about the same thing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, talking about the great commission. Go out, proclaim Jesus as Lord. When we read Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, please can we have that? In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. So this was Luke was a physician. He liked details. He always paid attention to detail. Over here, he was addressing Theophilus. Theophilus was someone who was very connected to top leaders. He was very close to the emperor in Rome, and he was writing to him. But before he writes, he makes reference to his former book, Luke. And he says that, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit and to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs. Hallelujah. All the proofs that Jesus gave were very convincing that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. When Jesus appeared to them after 40 days, he came back and then spoke about the kingdom of God. Verse 4. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. This is where our main test will be. We will revolve around this one. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Okay, so Jesus was talking about going out, preach the kingdom of God. But these guys were thinking about Jesus restoring the kingdom unto Israel. They were thinking about Jesus taking it from Rome, the Romans, unto the Israelites. How funny. So Jesus had to come here and say that. But I've already spoken about this to you several times. Verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But before that, wait for me in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He says, wait for me in Jerusalem. But as to when I will restore it to Israel or not, it's none of your business. Wait for me in Jerusalem. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So having the Holy Spirit and having power are two different things. The Holy Spirit will come, but after he has come, power will follow. Hallelujah. It is for a purpose. You will be my witnesses. How are we going to be God's witnesses? That's where I want. And then where are we going? How will we be his witnesses? And where are you going? So for us to go and witness to Jesus, our life has to look like him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our lives have to be like him. Jesus was humble in Psalm 51, verse 17. We will come back to this, but please, can we have that one? In Psalm 51, verse 17, Jesus, David was showing us something simple. He says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. It means there's one thing God can never look away from. That is a contrite and a broken heart. Hallelujah. If you humble yourself, he will lift you up. God hates someone who will raise himself. That's why he says that a contrite heart, you, O God, will not despise. Hallelujah. So we go out, we go and show humility. At your workplace, they have to see this in you. A broken spirit and then a contrite heart. If you go and do that, you are witnessing about Jesus. Because the enemy was never humble. He says, I will exalt my throne above that of God. And as soon as he said that, the Lord said that, oh, iniquity has been found in you. You can never be around me, so get out of here. So two people can be in the same place, and then you will see the difference. One will be humble, one will be arrogant. As soon as arrogance comes in, God will disappear from that place. So you go out and then you show brokenness in spirit and in heart. Hallelujah. You have to also deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. Let's read from Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus was telling us. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." So for you to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to deny yourself. What is the meaning of deny yourself? You take yourself out of the scene. So if you are left with one bread, you have to give it out to someone who has come to you and is hungry. You have to give it out and then you fast. That is denial of self. Hallelujah. Amen. When you work overnight and it's Sunday morning, you know that you have to sleep because you haven't finished the work. And then continue. But denial of self, you know that it's Sunday, you have to be in church. You will come and doze over here. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, because it is a must. You cannot stay there and say that I'm tired, so you let me sleep. You have to deny that part and then come here. Hallelujah. Amen. That is denial of self. Whatever you don't want to do, because of the cross, you will do it. Praise the Lord. I'm taking it slowly. I want you to get it so that you will go and then be a disciple of Jesus. Hallelujah. So that's what Jesus tells us. If you want to be his disciple, if you want people to see him in you, then you have to let go of everything that you fancy, everything that you hold dear to your heart. You have to let it go. It's like you are someone who likes to dress well. Like someone that I know. You buy a lot of fancy clothes. Yes. Then God will come and tell you that, give this one out. Hallelujah. It will be very difficult to give it out. But he will keep pressing. 20 years, you will go and you will say that, go and give that one out. He won't force you, but until you give it out, you are not moving forward. So you will be forced to give it out. You will buy a car. Let's say 2024 model, whatever car. I don't want to mention any model's name. Then, as soon as you drive out of the garage, the Lord starts to convince you that, go and donate this car. Hallelujah. Because he knows that this car will cause you to lose focus of what you are supposed to be. So he will say that, go and give it out. You will struggle and struggle, and then you have to give it. That is denial of self. Amen. Something that you hold so dear to your heart, you have to give it to God. Like what he did to Abraham. He said, go and give your only son. You know that I have prayed and prayed, fasted, done all kinds of things for so many years. And I've had this one. You are telling me, you not even said, go and give your son. He said, your only son. So you know that he's the only one that I have. And you are saying that I should go and kill him. Go and commit murder on top. God will say that, yes, that's how I want it. Go and give it to him. To me. Denial of self. Amen. Let's continue. We don't have time. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says that, nevertheless, the foundation of, I like this one so much. Nevertheless, irrespective of whatever happens, the foundation of God stands firm. Sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. Praise the Lord. So we have this inscription. The Lord knows those that are for him. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. The NKJV says that must turn from iniquity. But this one says must turn from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles. No, please give me the KJV or the NKJV. I like that one. Yes. In a large house, There are many vessels. I want that part. Yes. So verse 20 says that. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Continue. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for. So it doesn't matter whether you are wood, you are clay, you are silver or gold. As long as you do this, hallelujah, as long as you cleanse yourself, you'll be used for honor, something that is honorable. Amen. And then he says that, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. If you cleanse yourself, it doesn't matter, you can be wood, you can be clay. We will use you for something that is honorable. Amen. Amen. Therefore, okay, so flee also youthful lust. Amen. It says that flee youthful lust. Almost all of us are over here, are youth. He says that flee youthful. He knows. Paul knew that Timothy was in his youthful age. And he knew that lust was bound to come. So he says, flee, run away from lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the. So this morning's Bible study, I liked it. He says that pursue these things, righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. With those. So you will see people that call out of the Lord out of a pure heart. Associate yourself with these people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So in going out for the great commission, he says, cleanse yourself from all unrighteousness, and then associate yourself with people who have faith, who call the Lord out of a pure heart, who have love, who have peace. Praise the Lord. Verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Avoid. It's okay. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. God also showed us love in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. God showed us love. So we go out and we show this thing to the world. It's not always about come and preach to me. You know that I don't belong to your set, but are you showing love to me? Hallelujah. Are you showing love? And a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Then the verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. By this, everyone will know that you have been with Jesus. So Jesus is giving us another command. Love one another. He didn't say that love other disciples or love other Jews. He says, love one another. By this, others will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. Praise the Lord. So we go out and then we show love to one another. Then Jesus talks about we being the light and the salt of the world. A city built on a hill can never be hidden. In Matthew chapter 5, 13 and 16. He says, I tell you, you are a city built on a hill. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? We will throw you out when the winter comes. Is it winter? Okay, yes. We walk on you in Christmas. Yes, let me say it like that. Christmas in January. Then verse 14, continue. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be. So if you are a Christian, it can never be possible that we won't see. Hallelujah. You can't hide. If you're a Christian, we will see you wherever you go. So if you're a disciple of Christ, go out and then let us see that you are a Christian. Amen. Go and show that you are a Christian. It's not always about quoting Bible verses. What is your life telling us? Amen. At your workplace, what is your life telling us? Are you joining others to steal money? Oh, don't laugh. It's true. It's true. Because there are Christians who are in authority at work, certain workplaces, and they know how to siphon money into their own private accounts. Hallelujah. So if you're a Christian, you can never be like that. I remember when I finished my national service, back in my country, you have to serve when you are done with school. You have to go and serve the government. So I had to go and serve. And after that, I got some private job. And they were planning a party. But when I was coming, they said, oh, Osofo Banti Masa. Because they were planning of buying some drinks that they know that if I'm there, it won't happen. Amen. So they said, wait, let him finish. When he's gone, we'll plan the other part of it. Amen. So it can never be possible that you are a Christian and you are able to mingle with them. You sit among them. They talk whatever that they want to see. They have to see Christ in you. Hallelujah. When you have Christ in you, that is where we have the hope of glory. That is where we have the hope of glory. Psalm 1 says that, see, you will be like a tree planted by the riverside, who never withers, but bring forth your fruit in season. Oh, PIWC Hartford. Go and show Jesus. But your life must preach that gospel. It's not always in word. As I end, I want to read something over here. As disciples, we are called out of the word, reformed by Jesus, and sent out into the world to disciple it. Our life should show forth that we've been with the Lord. If all your life is to make heaven, you might get there, but God will be displeased with you. Amen. You'll go to heaven, all right, but God won't be happy with you because he wants you to go and reform where you are. You are supposed to transform your word, not only think about heaven. Transform it and let the place that you are look like heaven. That's where you pray, thy kingdom come. Amen. So go and do that. God will be displeased with you if all that you think about is to make it to heaven, heaven at last. Now you can bring that thing that I sent to you. So I have this thing that I want us to look at. Throughout scripture, it is God's objective through the ages that the Lord will give us grace to nurture good character as well as vocational, professional, and spiritual competencies wherever we are. Hallelujah. Throughout scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, it is God's objective through the ages that the Lord will give us grace to nurture good character as well as vocational, professional and spiritual competencies wherever we are. God's plan is not that we should just be knowledgeable in our work, but also together with our achievements and heights, we combine it with love, integrity, respect, and fear of God. That is when the world will see God in our lives and give him thanks. May God bless us. Amen. Let's pray. Shall we be on our feet? To you, the Lord our God, on our knees,
We bow to you, the Lord our God. Oh, on our knees, we to you, the Lord, to you, the Lord our God.
To pray, speak out from your heart to the Lord that, Father, no matter how far I have gone, I pray that, Lord, may you forgive me. I didn't know that I have to show your love. I didn't know that I have to show your integrity. I didn't know that I have to bring peace to wherever I work, to wherever I am. Father, forgive me. Open your mouth and pray. Even in your marriage, we lie. You went somewhere, but you were saying that it was traffic. Pray that, Father, forgive me, O Lord. Lord, we pray, may you forgive our shortcomings. May you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. We pray, most gracious Father, may you wash us in thy blood. We are praying once again that, Father, O Lord, as I go out, may your presence be with me. I don't want to go with my own wisdom, with my own knowledge and understanding, but I pray for help from you. I pray for help. There hasn't been any time that anyone has prayed that, Lord, help me, that the Lord didn't help. We are praying the Father, help us, that as we go out to proclaim you, we'll be able to do it according to what you want us to do. Open your mouth and pray for help. Because you have to go. It is a command that you should go. Father, may you help us.